Deborah.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Renee.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. It was hard getting your schedule all... We decided right after the break.
Right after the break. That's right. Catch people when they're fresh and awake on a Monday morning.
Exactly. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. I know we have a lot to cover.
Yeah.
And a lot is happening in District 11, isn't there?
It's been such an exciting year so far. We do have so much going on. And if people are not aware, that's what we're here to talk about today.
That's exactly right. So... we're going to get to some mill levy override updates coming up in just a bit, but there's a lot of planning going on, a lot of like looking at the future for District 11, the biggest district in the city, but also having to change, and it's keeping up with the times, the right word for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Just like regular businesses have to keep up with the times and they have to change. We also have to change in the education industry because there are things that we need to provide for our students that, you know, we can make available to them to make them even more successful upon graduation.
And this includes looking at, again, all the changes and processes. Yeah. There's different planning stages that are going on. It sounds like different planning processes. And one of them that just happened, or I'm sure it's been going on for quite a few months. Let's not say it just happened. That would be like, you know.
It's been a long effort.
It's been a long effort. It was the strategic planning process.
Correct.
So kind of walk us through what was the strategic planning process? How long did it take? And do we know yet kind of?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My pleasure. So it's been over a year that this plan has been a work in progress, but it's been finalized. And so prior to our superintendent joining us in 2018, Dr. Michael Thomas came to us from Minneapolis, Minnesota in 2018. We knew that we had to develop a strategic plan because prior to that, we had a business plan in place. And the business plan was executed, but it was time to boost ourselves up to a higher level and make sure that we were planning ahead for the future. And we were considering the needs and the wants of our community, from our families, our students, our business partners, our staff, our stakeholders, because the voting public, even if you have no longer have kids in schools, we take an interest in you because you are a voting member of the public. So we opened up what's called World Cafes. And basically the World Cafes were a chance for our community members, our families, our students, our staff to come out and sit in an intimate environment and have just dialogue and talk about what they wanted to see in the future of School District 11. And we had so many people come out to these World Cafes last year that we were overwhelmed with the response. We also had an online survey.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it really gave us a good direction to start with our strategic plan. We also developed a core team, and those folks were also community members and parents and staff members. And that core team developed a very strong strategic plan that was adopted by the Board of Education. So in August, we officially launched our strategic plan and a new brand for School District 11, and we're very excited about the direction that we're heading. Our mission, and I've never heard one like this, I think it's very strong, and it's very interesting to see how we're adopting the new mission and the ways that we're adopting the new mission, but it's, we dare to empower the whole student to profoundly impact our world. And that's exactly what our teachers and our educators and our administrators do each and every day.
Right. And that's, and again, changing that mission statement. And the strategic plan not only changed the mission, but also, like, I know the logo change.
Yep.
And basically just overall change in the look at the community, the school process,
Absolutely.
Everything like that, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, when your favorite business takes a turn and they start to develop a new mission and they develop a new color scheme and a new logo and a new website, and they just become this newer entity. You know, when I always think about the fast food restaurants that get remodeled, like Burger King or Taco Bell, you know, and all of a sudden they're fresh and new. It's sort of what Colorado Springs School District 11 has gone through.
And this kind of leads into the next step, doesn't it?
Yes.
So the strategic, and folks can go get the whole strategic plan after.
Absolutely. So
laid out.
Exactly. It's on our website, which is d11.org/strategic-plan.
Okay.
And they'll be able to see our core values, the mission, our mission impacts, the vision, strategies that we're pursuing to achieve all of our goals, and our strategic delimiters as well.
Well, it's fantastic that the community responded.
We're so happy that we had such an involved effort.
Yeah.
Because really, this is what our community school district, you know, we are Colorado Springs Schools.
Right.
And we really want to make sure that we take our community's input and put it to work.
Okay, so this again leads into the academic master planning process, but why don't we take a break now, Deborah, so when we come back, we can lead into that. Sound
good? Sounds like a plan, yeah.
We're going to have more with Deborah Ashby, a public information officer for Colorado Springs School District 11, next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Joining us from Colorado Springs School District 11, she is the public information officer. Deborah Ashby is here. And Deborah, we are talking about the first step in kind of the, what's the restructuring, if you will.
Sure.
I mean, I guess it's the of District 11.
Moving ahead.
Moving forward was the strategic planning process. And and District 11 had the World Cafes where everybody came out to online surveys. And a lot of incredible information was collected from the community.
Yep.
From that.
Yes.
And that the strategic planning process is done. Again, you can see that on the D11 website. But this leads into, right, it's the academic master planning process now.
That's correct.
Okay.
So the academic master plan is a huge body of work that is being developed by our instructional staff as well as our leadership teams. But it's also another opportunity for the community to give input. So in October, what did we do again? Went back out to our community. We opened up the World Cafes again, and we talked about what direction, what kind of academic planning would our community like to see. And so from that, we really wanted to hear from students. We wanted to hear from families, but we also wanted to hear from business industry partners to talk about how we can better prepare our graduates for life after high school, whether that means they go to college or they start their careers right after high school or they go into the military, whatever path that they choose, we want to make sure that we set them up successfully.
Right.
And so as part of the World Cafes, we gleaned themes for our academic master plan. And some of those themes hit on science, technology, engineering, math, or STEM pathways to better serve our learners, but they also hit upon expanding our gifted magnet school programs.
So explain what that is if folks don't know.
Absolutely. So when students are identified as gifted and talented students, they can go into a magnet program at a certain school, and they can be served with other peers that are right there alongside of them. So if they've been identified, they go into the magnet program, and they're in that program with other gifted students. So they get the needs met along with all of their peers. Sometimes there's schools that have pullout programs where they take the gifted students for a session or a class and they bring them out and they pull them out of their homeroom class, essentially. But a magnet program puts them all together and they're learning right alongside of each other for the whole duration of the day.
That makes sense. Okay. And then so a focus on that as well.
Yep.
And then are there other
Yeah.
kind of things that you're getting from the World Cafes, once again, for the academic master planning process?
Yeah. One of the needs was a dual immersion program, which what that means is we put students who speak both English and most likely Spanish, because that's another big language opportunity for our students. We put kids whose native language is either their native English speakers or their native Spanish speakers. We put them into a classroom and they learn both languages at the same time. And so they're prepared to be dual educated in both English and Spanish.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's good, though.
It's absolutely something that's necessary this day and age. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And very good critical thinking skills. Another thing that we hit upon was career and technical education. And a lot of people don't know this, but students who come to School District 11 can go through programs in our Pathways programs. And they can go for a focus on, for example, hospitality, or they can go to an automotive program, or they can go through a cybersecurity program.
Right.
And they can be certified with those industry certifications. We're talking high schoolers now. They can be certified with industry certifications and even up to an associate's degree that they don't have to pay for out of their pocket and be workforce ready upon high school graduation.
That's crazy.
It is.
Could you imagine having it like if I had that opportunity when I was in
high school. I know.
Incredible.
It is an incredible opportunity. We've seen so many students come through our programs And they're out there working in industry right now.
Now, have you heard a lot, and I know this has kind of been a focus for a lot of local industries, mm-hmm. like they need workforce.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure
Absolutely.
That's kind of coming to D11 and going, help. Help us.
Yes.
Help, right? Like.
Yes. So we have an incredible CTE program, or Career and Technical Education program, and it's led by a nice gentleman by the name of Dwayne Roberson. And he and his team go out and they canvass regional industry leaders to see what career programming should be included in our career and technical education okay. instruction. So what are the emerging needs? Is it home building? We do work with the HBA. Is it construction? Is it, you know, we always talk about how we're educating students at a very young age for careers that don't even exist yet.
Yeah.
So we're always trying to keep up with industry trends and what is the most demand out there so we can be sure that we're producing graduates to meet that demand.
And that's just crazy. They're graduating again, ready to go straight in. I mean, I was just thinking cybersecurity. I mean, there is such a need for that. I mean,
really
for all of this, all of these that you were talking about.
We have a nationally renowned cybersecurity program at the Roy J. Wasson Academic Campus, and we have an instructor who is phenomenal, and he has been in industry himself, and he retired from cybersecurity programming and industry and came over to be a teacher. And
wow.
We're so fortunate to have him, but he's grown that program immensely.
So anything else that you're kind of seeing in the academic master planning process?
Yeah, you know, just how we can best lay an academic foundation. So the way that my superintendent always talks about it is an ice cream sundae analogy. So no matter what school in District 11 you're going to go to, you're going to get the foundational academics. And so academics is really going to be the driver of all of this. So you're going to get that vanilla
right.
ice cream. But if you want sprinkles, you may have to go to this school. Or if you want hot fudge sauce, you may have to go to this school. Again, I'm speaking in an analogy. But
it's almost sounding like a college. Almost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so we need to make sure that we can get these students to the places that they need to go to of
right.
their interest. And so we're looking a lot at transportation needs as well. So a lot of different planning, a lot of different opportunities going into this academic master plan. And we're hoping to implement parts of this master academic plan in fall 2020.
That's fantastic. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a quick news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about then the equity planning process.
Yes.
All the different stages to this. And then we'll get an update on the mill levy override, on the 2017 mill levy override. We've got more with Deborah Ashby from District 11 next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Joining us from Colorado Springs School District 11, PIO Deborah Ashby is here. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Renee.
I know we're just kind of scratching the surface of everything that's going on in
yes.
District 11. Which is
there's
kind
so
of,
much going on.
Oh my gosh, there's so much going on. But hey, it's kind of updating everybody. We like to do this
Absolutely.
at least twice a year, get an update on what's going on.
Absolutely.
And we've talked about first, it was the strategic plan that's done. Now we're in the academic master planning process. And then it sounds like equity. Can you tell it's Monday?
I can.
After a holiday, the equity planning.
Yes.
Is that after the academic master planning process is done, does it lead into?
Yeah, they all kind of go together.
Go together.
Actually,
okay.
Yeah. So our Board of Education had determined that we need to move toward determining an equity policy for the school district. And a lot of people think about equity in varying terms, but I know this is radio. I'll paint a little bit of a picture. My superintendent, Dr. Michael Thomas, he likes to use a picture, and if you just close your eyes and imagine for a minute, of three students attempting to watch a baseball game, but there's a fence in the way. And the first student is tall enough so he can look over the fence. He doesn't need any supports. The second student, well, he's a little bit shorter, so he needs one box to be able to see over the fence. But the third student, she's, you know, shortest, and she needs two boxes to look over the fence. Well, we're providing those supports, and for the longest time in education, we've been providing those supports. However, what we need to start doing is tear down the barriers, take down the fence,
right?
So that students can yeah. approach the education at all different
Just
levels.
Just remove the fence.
Exactly.
There we go.
Exactly.
I like that direct approach. Instead of trying to figure out how to look over it, just take down the fence.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, we educate every student who walks through our doors.
Right.
No matter their background, their culture, their identities, no matter what, we educate every student who walks through our doors. And we're proud and privileged to do so. And so removing those barriers for students who face such barriers, that's what equity is all about. And that's what we're trying to do through the equity policy. The board has, once again, we approached our community and asked our community about how, what they want to see in an equity policy and what they would want to see as we move forward with different equity practices throughout the school district.
Right.
And so through the World Cafe process, again, we are starting to plan what that's going to look like. And the board is anticipated to start looking at the draft policy, coming up very soon.
And then, there was just a new board. Right? Or new board members.
New board members.
That were just elected.
Yeah. So we were thrilled because we had so much interest in our board this year during the election season.
So like, what, eight or nine or ten?
Yeah. We had eight candidates for four open seats. And it was just amazing that our community saw such interest. It also gives us the idea and hope that people are starting to see the changes taking place in School District 11 and really believing in us.
Right. Yeah. And I, because you've been on the last couple of years where you've been getting updates, and it was, you know, shifting, like, you know, when you originally put the stuff on the ballot for like the mill levy and stuff like that.
Yes.
And the first year, not so.
Yeah. The first year we failed at the polls with their mill levy and bond. And I think there was some confusion because of the dual initiatives. The second year we went out in 2017 and won the mill levy. And that was the first mill levy override we've passed since 2000. So 17 years, whole generation of students went through our school system and graduated, before they saw any kind of new improvements from mill levy override money.
And do you think that's kind of what sparked all of this, you know, this whole kind of rejuvenation of District 11 and actually getting out in the community and, okay, what do we...
Absolutely. And I think, you know, change is necessary for any organization to grow. And so we are changing, and we're starting to look at these exciting new horizons, equity being one of them. And one of the barriers that we decided was, you know, very significant for kids is, can you learn when you have a toothache? Can you learn when you're sick and you're chronically ill and you're at home sick, you know, and not able to access healthcare? And can you learn when you have a mental disability that's preventing you from fully taking part in your academics?
Right.
No, you can't.
Right.
You can't. So why have that barrier in place? So I'm very excited to say that Peak Vista has partnered with Colorado Springs School District 11, and we are going to be opening a new primary healthcare facility in Mitchell High School.
That's huge.
Yeah, this winter. The new facility is going to offer integrated care model with medical, dental, and behavioral health services. And guess what? It's not just for Mitchell families.
I was going to say, is it just for Mitchell?
No. So we identified... through several different studies that area of town is either underinsured or uninsured and is heavily impacted by that. So families in that area, even if they don't have students at Mitchell or our feeder schools in District 11, they can take part in this Peak Vista Medical Center and get the health care that they need.
That's fantastic.
It's amazing.
So when you said... Later next year?
Yeah, so it's opening this winter.
This winter, okay.
We've had a few setbacks in our construction. However, the health center, which is going to be close to 5,000 square feet, it's going to be in renovated space on the northwest portion of Mitchell High School. Again, it's going to be a facility that's a community-based health center and the first of its kind to serve students, staff, and families of Mitchell High School and their feeder schools, as well as neighborhood residents of all ages. So keep an eye out on Peak Vista's Facebook page, which is that's Peak Vista. That's D11.
Yeah.
It's facebook.com/Peak Vista, or you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/CSSD11.
Okay. Perfect. Well, that's very exciting. How has the response been from the community when they learn that?
I think everybody's been very excited. You know, we've been able to work through a community partnership with a valued partner, and they have such a presence in Colorado Springs.
Absolutely.
And they've got a great reputation for providing services to the people who need it. And so we're excited. And I think, you know, the feedback's been very good.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Anything else we need to know with the equity planning process? Again, we're removing those barriers.
Sure. Just keep an eye out on our website, d11.org, for upcoming opportunities as we continue to engage with our community.
Perfect. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we are going to get some updates on the mill levy override and 2017. I need to specify, don't I? Mill levy override, and we will have that and a lot more with Deborah Ashby, Public Information Officer for Colorado Springs School District 11, next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We are getting an update on Colorado Springs School District 11 with PIO Deborah Ashby. So much happening.
Yes, we do. We have so much. But we are a large school district, so that's to be expected.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the mill levy override and some updates on that.
Yes. So I don't know if our voters remember, but I hope that they do, that we were generously supported by the voting public in Colorado Springs School District 11 in 2017 for a mill levy override. And, you know, we hear about, well, what's going on? Where's the taxpayer money going? It's going exactly where the voters intended it to go. And so if people remember, there were about 10 items on the as part of the mill levy override. And I'm happy to say we're implementing many of those items right now.
Okay.
So one of them was a comprehensive support model. We identified the need for additional nurses, psychologists, and counselors to help with social emotional needs of students. Unfortunately, we've had a high suicide rate among youth across the country.
Yeah.
Students dealing with all sorts of mental health disabilities that really need to be addressed.
Right.
Students coming to us with trauma. And so the voters felt the same and passed the comprehensive support model. Well, we have implemented that, and we've already hired many of those critical care workers. And we look forward to the full implementation by fiscal year 22-23.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Teacher compensation, that was another one. You know, teachers are our front line. They are educators. We value our very talented teaching staff in District 11. We need to remain competitive so that we attract and maintain the highest quality teachers that we can.
And that's been a hot topic across
the state.
It has
been a very hot topic.
I mean, they're even saying, you know, and I'm not saying D11, but Colorado teachers are not getting paid
exactly.
Even close to some other
exactly.
market.
So we were glad that our voters again saw the value in that, and we were able to increase our starting teacher salary. And then provide a 7.2% raise between fiscal year 17-18 and 18-19. So those pay raises are now embedded in our teacher salary schedules.
Perfect.
Again, our support staff, what we call our educational support professionals, ESP compensation, they also saw a 10% increase between that 17-18 and 18-19. Those are the critical people who are our bus drivers, our plumbers, our food nutrition service workers, our clerical staff. We have a number of different job families all supporting our students. Our security was another item that,
I remember it was top priority.
It was a big one. And we're still implementing that line item. But again, that provides for 5 additional school resource officers. And that item began this year. We were unfortunately short from the police recruitment process in putting those school resource officers into place.
Right.
But now they're being trained. We're starting to implement that, and we saw additional school resource officers this year.
Perfect. And those are mostly, are they at the high schools mostly, or are they at the mostly? At
we're
the,
starting to put them into middle schools.
Middle schools.
A number of years ago, because of funding both from the city and the district, they were pulled out of middle schools, and now we're putting them back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Again, class size reduction. This item currently provides for 10 additional classroom teachers this year and a total of 25 additional classroom teachers starting next year and every year thereafter.
So 25 a year.
Exactly. And so we're starting to look at class size and making sure that class size is at a reasonable size for our students as well as our instructional staff.
How big would you say some of the classes we're getting up to?
You know, we've heard anecdotally from different classes that, you know, that they'd see higher kindergarten classrooms, approaching the 30 mark, and then we'd see in the high school levels more popular classes that were approaching 40. And so we did have some that we needed to take a critical look at, and we've done that. We're starting to adjust for those.
That's perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Again, technology replacement. That's a huge one.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
Exactly. So the first 3 years of this item is $1 million per year. It's used for the district's new phone system. And then future applications are dedicated to server, PC, and laptop replacements.
Okay.
But we also are implementing new technology staff to be able to care for the new technology.
Yeah.
And what's very exciting in our high schools right now is our students have a one-to-one laptop initiative. And so my daughter, being a freshman at Doherty High School, she was one of the first to receive a laptop, and she'll take that laptop through all 4 years of her high school career. So it's exciting to be able to provide that technology for students so they can take that home and work on things from home as well.
That's perfect. Okay.
Again, Capital Reserve construction. This is one of the biggest things because we are the oldest school district. So we have some aging facilities that need to be addressed. We're starting to see some really great things happening from this part of the mill levy, the 2017 mill levy override. This item phases in over the next 6 years, but for the current fiscal year, we're already spending approximately $16 million of the mill levy override. We have a significant backlog of urgent capital needs. And so we're starting to, you know, fix things that need addressed, boilers that need to be replaced. A lot of the behind the walls things before we can actually get to remodeling of any new facilities.
Yeah.
But that's on the horizon.
Right. Got to take care of the bones of the building first, right?
Exactly. And then another item that was very important to our voting public is that the bond debt reserve. This item has already accumulated over $20 million for the early repayment of our bonded indebtedness. And so we're paying off our debt.
Yeah.
Which is great.
That's fantastic.
Our taxpayers are wonderful, and we continue to be very thankful for their generosity of the 2017 and the 2000 mill levy override.
So how can folks, I'm sure that it's up on the website so they can see, like, I'm sure, see what's being done.
Absolutely.
And where it is and the progress of everything. And
yeah, so by law, we have to remain 100% transparent. So every transaction is out
is
there
out
on
there.
The website.
Right.
Yeah, you can go to D11 or D11.org. And right on the homepage, you'll see little hot buttons. One of them is Mill Levy Override Updates, or MLO Updates. Click on that. Every month we update that website. There is a citizens. We're one of the only school districts in the area to have a citizens oversight committee, which means that we recruit citizens to come in, take a look at our plans for the mill levy override, and make sure that they fully they are fully implemented the way the voters wanted to see them implemented. We also have an annual audit, so we have an external auditor come in and take a look at how we're doing. All of that information is available on the mill levy override pages on our website, and people can take a look at that. You know, it's dry for some, but for others, they really want to make sure that the school district is transparent, and so we're doing everything that we can to be transparent and show our voters we really respect the privilege to serve you as your school district.
Right. Perfect. So go check all that out.
Yes.
Well, lots of changes, lots going on, Deborah. It's always great to catch up with you. Appreciate
you too.
It
Thank
so much.
You.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to everyone. Thank you.
And by really quick before we go, though, what is D11's holiday schedule? So
Everybody,
sure parents are like, oh, no, we're very clear. But maybe they're not. You'd be surprised.
We go on break starting 20th is our last day in school. And so we go on break starting the 21st of December. And then I believe our kids return for second semester on the 6th of January. But again, check your school's calendars because I'm not always 100% accurate.
Things change. You know what I mean? So check your calendars. There you go. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Thank you.
And coming up tomorrow, Colorado Springs Fire Department Chief Ted Colas will be here. That's tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.